WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. Next year is going to highlight the beginning of pretty major changes for both parties in the House in Washington as Republicans begin the year with a slim majority. California Representative Kevin McCarthy will ascend to the position of Speaker of the House for the first time in the post with one of the slimmest majorities in history. On the other side, New York Representative Hakeem Jeffries will become the first African-American to head a major political party in Congress when he takes over Democratic House leadership from Nancy Pelosi, who is one of the longest to ever serve in that capacity. So what can we expect from the House in the upcoming term? Who are Kevin McCarthy and Hakeem Jeffries? What are their principles, and how will these changes affect Congress next year? That's where we want to continue the conversation here on Detroit Today. And joining us to talk about what's going to happen in the new year in Washington is Ozzy Pabera. He is a national reporter who covers campaigns and breaking politics for The Washington Post. Ozzy, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with the incoming Speaker of the House. He's not an unfamiliar face in Washington, but this is his first crack at leading the lower chamber. Who is Kevin McCarthy?
So just a small footnote. So Kevin McCarthy would like to be the incoming
Speaker. Well, that's right. It's not settled yet. That's right.
But out of the 218 votes any person would need to become Speaker, he has about 213. So Kevin McCarthy, a Republican congressman.
He's close.
he's close. But what is fascinating is that this guy who's been working studiously at becoming Speaker is within grasp of it, but there is not enough votes yet, and there is enough talk among people in D.C. to say, hey, if Representative McCarthy doesn't have the 218, might somebody else have it?
So we might go somewhere in another direction. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So if you are Kevin McCarthy, you are possibly measuring the drapes and also still calling your friends and seeing if they're still your friends.
That's right.
So he is he's from California, and for years he worked actually as a staffer for another Congress member, William Thomas. He was on that staff for over a decade before getting elected to the California State Assembly. He spent a few years there, rose up to become minority leader, and then in 2006 gets elected to the Congress. So he's been in Congress for enough time to sort of understand the place, how it operates. There's reports out there that he was a big fan of Trump, read Art of the Deal, and sort of got acquainted with the future president sort of before he formally came into politics. So there's been some connection there. Now, what people have seen McCarthy do is cobble together enough House members to win a majority, a bare majority. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were thinking they were going to do a lot better than they did in the midterms. But Kevin McCarthy sort of went around the country supporting the Republican nominees this midterms. Now, whether you were a little bit more of a progressive with more lenient views on abortion over in the Northeast, or a little bit more hardline conservatives focused on immigration down along the border, Kevin McCarthy was traveling the country, championing and carrying the banner for Republicans, and just got them across the finish line with enough votes to declare the majority.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk a little about Hakeem Jeffries,
sure,
who is making history by ascending to leadership in the House. Who is he?
He is from Brooklyn. He is a lawyer who, when he first tried to run for office, he ran against an incumbent in Brooklyn for a state assembly seat, lost, and the political powers at the time said, we don't like this guy coming in trying to beat one of our guys. And they redrew the district to exclude Hakeem Jeffries' House at the time. So he got a very early taste of what political power can mean.
Of how it works, right?
Exactly. A few years later, he ends up winning that seat. His colleagues immediately see that he's a smart, articulate, hardworking guy, and they see he has a lot of potential. He then runs for a congressional seat in his area. A longtime Congress member sees the challenge, decides to retire, and then for that seat, just as he's about to clinch it, he gets challenged by a council member, Councilman Charles Barron, longtime member of the Black Panther Party, just an outspoken advocate with a track record of getting a lot of attention for saying strong things. And and Hakeem Jeffries, who had once been the sort of outsider insurgent, quickly becomes the person that the establishment needs to rally around in order to avoid and prevent this other guy from winning. So Hakeem Jeffries wins that congressional race and instantly starts building connections with Democratic Party leaders because of this unique race that he was in.
Yeah.
He gets to Washington, and in 2018, something amazing happens. Joe Crowley, a congressman from a neighboring district, from a nearby district, loses to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the rising progressive member. What that does is it clears the lane for Hakeem Jeffries. The person AOC had beaten had long been considered a future contender for the speaker. He's gone. That leaves Hakeem Jeffries, young, safe Democratic district, very smart, and can balance progressive ideas and values with sort of friendly relations and smart establishment politics.
Yeah.
That's who Hakeem Jeffries is.
Yeah. And a reminder to our listeners, he is the brother of Hassan Kwame Jeffries, who is a history professor who specializes in civil rights and the Black Power movement at Ohio State University and has been a guest here on Detroit Today several times talking about things. So, but let's talk about what's going to happen when presumably we get leadership on both sides in the House in January. It will be a new day. Nancy Pelosi will not be the speaker for the first time in a bit, and Republicans will have control again. What's that going to look like?
There's going to be challenges on both sides. For potentially Speaker McCarthy, whenever you have a small majority, the smaller your majority, the more potential disruptive power each member has. People like Representative Matt Gaetz in Florida, Marjorie Taylor Greene in Georgia, each of these are strong voices who say things like, let's investigate President Biden. Let's look at Hunter Biden's laptop and things like that. So Kevin McCarthy is very quickly going to have to figure out how to deliver the functions of government, passing budgets, getting bills done, paying for the things that government does, with this idea that the activist base of the Republican Party wants to sort of exact revenge on what they saw as unfair investigations attacking their members, and they sort of feel it's like their opportunity to sort of use that power more justly going the other direction. McCarthy's going to have to balance, how do you govern and get things done with members who sort of want to go and potentially go in another direction? He's already promised Marjorie Taylor Greene that he will put her on committees, and she's talking about launching investigations. So he's going to manage how to go from railing against the system to sort of leading the system.
Yeah.
Hakeem Jeffries potentially is going to have to figure out what to do with the activist base in his party, the AOCs, the Progressive Caucus, who may want to take a stronger stance while figuring out when and where to work with Republicans who are in the majority. Do they pass criminal justice reform? Do they pass infrastructure legislation? I remember Infrastructure Week was something we were talking about for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So when and where to pick your fight is going to be something each side is going to have to figure out.
Yeah. And if you're the White House, you've still got significant parts of your agenda that you hadn't been able to get through in the last 2 years with the control of both houses of Congress. The math gets harder here. But I want to ask about here in Michigan, of course, we have kind of the opposite thing happening where Democrats will have control for the first time in 40 years, in fact, of the entire legislature and the governor's office. And there's still talk, though, of reaching across the aisle. The incoming Speaker of the House here is somebody who has great relationships with several Republicans. And he says, look, maybe my majority comes together sometimes with them in the fold. Is there any possibility of that kind of thing happening in Washington?
Absolutely. There are longtime members on both sides of the aisle who understand that when they go back to their districts, a lot of their constituents, a lot of people who just turn on the TV, see their paychecks not rising as high as the price of the pump, they want to see how Washington affects their lives on a daily basis. And Democrats often argue that the role of government is to play a more active role, and Republicans often are in the position of saying less government yields a greater good. But both sides are going to have to figure out when to use the power of government to step in. There are issues about student debt relief that's being weighed in the that's being weighed out in the courts. That's also going to have to be debated. And we're also going to see a presidential campaign heating up more intensely. And that always can throw the machinations in Washington a little sideways. But there are moments where, if I can back up,
yeah.
There is a theory of governing that says the majority of the majority is really what drives the ship.
Mm-hmm.
So if McCarthy wants to govern 51-49, he really has to win over a wide swath of his somewhat diverse caucus. Or he can cut deals with Hakeem Jeffries and potentially face an uprising from like the Freedom Caucus and the more hardline members. So he's going to have to decide when to stick with his base and when to reach across the aisle.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Ozzie Pabera of the Washington Post. Really great to have you here for this conversation. Thanks so much for joining us on Detroit Today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Okay, that is going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we're going to talk about the laboratories of democracy idea and whether states still adopt good policy ideas from their neighbors anymore, or if we're too polarized for that to be happening in our country. This is 101.9 WDETFM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.